So last week we told you how broadcasters rejected the DUP's demand to be included in the TV general election debate. The DUP had written to the BBC and ITV asking for an explanation as to why they'd not been invited to take part in the live televised election debates. In a letter written to the party, the Director General, Lord Hall, gave them a resounding no. Well, now the BBC's Chief Advisor for Politics, Rick Bailey, is with me this morning. Rick, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning. And parties in Northern Ireland are wondering why you're treating Northern Ireland differently and why we're a special case. We're part of the UK, are we not?
Absolutely. And we make judgments about debates and all sorts of programmes according to the party political structure, which is across the UK. And as you will know, it's not symmetrical. When you're in different parts of the UK, you are often voting with a different choice of main parties, and that's the case in Northern Ireland. So the debates which were proposed by the broadcasters a week or so ago to include the seven parties did not include the Northern Ireland parties because you couldn't include just one of them. Because we've got to start this from the point of view of impartiality in an election, and you've got to take that from the perspective of the voters. So if you're in Northern Ireland, the big choice you have in a general election and in other elections is between the big five parties in Northern Ireland. Now, that's not the same as the situation is in Scotland or Wales or in England, because there you've got the SNP in Scotland, who are competing in the main against the big parties of Labour and Conservative and Liberal Democrats. You have the same in Wales, where Plaid Cymru are competing against Labour, Conservative and Liberal Democrats. That's not the situation in Northern Ireland, so you have to look at it in a different way. And our judgment was that the people in Northern Ireland, the voters in Northern Ireland, hear from the people who are competing for their votes, which is the five big parties, but they also have an opportunity to hear from the other parties in Great Britain who are competing for votes across the UK.
But the people in Northern Ireland may very well, Rick, want to see their politicians on a national stage able to take on the Conservative and the Labour Party and fight and debate it out with those parties as to what they will need in terms of promises so that Northern Ireland will support them at the next general election, if indeed there's to be a coalition. And with welfare reform changes and other changes like that that very much have been affecting Northern Ireland, some people here want to see our politicians have a national stage with the likes of David Cameron, Ed Miliband and others, and you've stopped them doing it.
Well, there will be lots of opportunities for all the political parties to get lots of coverage during the election and for many of those points to be made. But if you're looking at this through the perspective of impartiality, and for the BBC that is crucially important, what you have to present to voters is a fair representation of those parties they're voting for. So I think you would accept that if you had a debate which only included one of the Northern Ireland parties, as I think you were suggesting, that would not be fair to the other parties in Northern Ireland.
Yeah, but the Green Party has one MP. You're allowing them into your debate. Meanwhile, you're excluding a party with eight MPs, the DUP. You're excluding Sinn Féin with five MPs. And why are you doing it? Because it's awkward for the BBC to facilitate it.
No, I think what I said at the beginning was that the UK system is not symmetrical. There is no perfect mathematical solution to that lack of symmetry in the UK. You have to make, as you do when you're doing your Five Live programme and broadcasting across the UK, you have to make judgments about which parties to include, which parties not to include. Now, the Green Party has demonstrated in the last 3 or 4 months a significant rise in its electoral support as measured through a pretty consistent rise in the opinion polls. We don't measure this just by representation in the House of Commons. We apply a whole series of objective criteria of which representation
though?
Is only one.
Isn't of course, it significant? Eight MPs v. one.
Absolutely. And that is why it is very important that a voter in Northern Ireland gets the opportunity to hear a debate between all the big parties in Northern Ireland. If you put just the DUP, or even just the DUP and Sinn Féin, into a debate of all the Great Britain parties as well, you would not have an impartial view of what's happening in Northern Ireland.
Yeah, but it does come down to you couldn't facilitate the debate, which means it would be good viewing, so you've excluded Northern Ireland. You didn't exclude the Green Party. You didn't exclude Plaid Cymru. You excluded Northern Ireland because we weren't good enough.
No, right? No, no, that's...
We weren't important enough.
No, that's silly. Across the UK, there are different... Well, I can see that's how you feel, but across the UK, there are different...
Some people who've contacted this programme, Rick, have said they feel. Not how I feel, and you know that.
Well, you're expressing it, and I'm giving you an answer, which is that there are different party political structures in the different parts of the UK. There is not one simple mathematical solution. Let me just put this in context for a second, OK? Debates are extremely difficult to put together. We're not putting them together because we want big audience figures. We're putting them together because it was really clear after 2010 that they had a significant effect on the political engagement of people in the general election. And when I say that, I mean not just people like you and me who are fascinated by politics, but by people who would not normally get involved in election coverage, may not watch any other programme. There was a particularly significant increase in the turnout amongst young voters, and a lot of that came down to the fact that they were engaged in it by debates. So for the broadcasters, the debates is absolutely public service broadcasting in terms of engaging the electorate in taking part in democracy. So that's why it's very important that we put them together. Now, you've suggested that we should add other parties to that. I would suggest to you that if you put all the Northern Ireland parties into that debate and had, 10, 11, 12 parties, you know, which ones are represented in Westminster, which ones have significant support, then what you would not be doing would be serving the licence fee payers across the UK, because the vast majority of viewers in England would be watching a debate where fewer than half of those taking part could they vote for. And actually, there's a perfectly reasonable way of approaching this, which is to give the parties in Northern Ireland a debate which is broadcast not only in Northern Ireland but across the UK.
And what percentage of voters, in your reckoning, will end up voting for Plaid Cymru?
Well, if you're in Wales, you seem to be pitching this as something which is between Northern Ireland and Wales and Scotland. The political structure in Northern Ireland is different from the political structure in Wales and in Scotland. So you cannot make that comparison. The people in Wales, their choice is between Plaid Cymru, Labour, Conservative, Liberal Democrat and UKIP. That's a different choice from the votes that people have in Northern Ireland. We have to recognise that.
Yeah,
otherwise, we're not broadcasting impartially.
Although some of those parties that you've mentioned are standing in Northern Ireland, as you well know. So standing in Northern Ireland against the likes of the DUP and Sinn Féin, who you have excluded, and the SDLP, you've got UKIP. You've got the Conservative Party. You've got a branch of the Green Party. So if you're a UKIP candidate, you get a big bounce from the national debate. Meanwhile, if you're a DUP candidate, you don't. And you're arguing that's fair.
Well, it's absolutely true that some of those parties do stand in Northern Ireland. But what's also true is that none of them have substantial electoral support in Northern Ireland. And so you have to, as I said right at the beginning, make some judgments about what's in the best interests of the viewers across the UK.
But you can see that UKIP will get a bounce that the DUP will not from that national debate. You would concede that?
Well, that's not something that's just true of the debates. That's something which is true of all UK broadcasting. When you do your programme on Five Live and you cover UK politics, you are faced with exactly the same dilemma, and you too have to make that judgment about what relative levels of coverage you give to the different parties. Now, all we can do is look at the structure of the UK and try and come up with what is the best possible offering for viewers in each of the four nations and make sure we're doing it impartially. And if you've got a better formula, Stephen, I'd love to hear it.
But just to go over just one more time, Rick, when UKIP are standing in Northern Ireland against other political parties, when the Conservative Party is standing in Northern Ireland against other political parties, on the night of that national election debate, what should the local parties here who have been excluded be doing? Where do they get their coverage on the BBC that night?
But across the election campaign, the parties in Northern Ireland will be getting substantial coverage, both in Northern Ireland and in UK coverage. You have to make a judgment, and these judgments are based on who votes, on where we start with real voters at the ballot box. And so you start with giving substantial support, substantial coverage to parties which have demonstrated by the fact that people have voted for them, they've got more support. And in Northern Ireland, the Conservative Party, UKIP, and the Northern Ireland Green Party, yes, they'll be standing candidates, but they are not amongst the major choices which people in Northern Ireland have exercised in the past because they don't have that level of electoral support. Now, you can't distort the system in order to put more parties in if what you end up doing is not serving the licence fee payers across the UK as a whole.
The First Minister in Northern Ireland has called your response irrational.
Well, I think I've just explained it, and I hope that on hearing that you'd think it was not irrational. It's completely rational, and it's exactly the same way that we approach all UK broadcasting, which is to make a judgment between the amount of coverage we give to UK-wide parties and the amount of coverage we give to the different parties in the different nations of the UK in each part of it.
Did you consult BBC Northern Ireland before you made your decision?
I'm not going to start going into twists and turns about how decisions are made.
It's a pretty straight question.
It's a very straight question, and this is a BBC proposal, and I'm not going to go into the twists and turns of how decisions within the BBC are made.
That sounds like a no.
No, you can read into it what you like. I'm not going to give you evidence for anything at all on that front. I'm simply going to tell you that the BBC has made a proposal, and I'm not going to talk about who I may have spoken to before that decision was taken.
But hold on a second. There are many, many years of experience in BBC Northern Ireland. Many, many years of experience, Rick. And the reason why you have these senior managers here is because they know the intricacies of Northern Ireland. They know how the political parties work. They know how they're likely to respond. And they balance fairness here every day of the week.
I agree with all of that.
It would surely be completely astonishing if a BBC manager in England didn't look for advice from Northern Ireland before making that decision. Not making the decision based on what Northern Ireland said, but at least asking for advice. So I repeat the question again so that you can assure the Northern Ireland public and the Northern Ireland public and parties that you sought advice and that you made an informed decision. Did you ask BBC Northern Ireland for advice for their take in this before you made the decision?
And I'm going to repeat the answer, which is that I'm not going to talk to you about who I did and didn't take advice from.
I wonder how many people are going to read into it that this is a management team in England who decided what was right for Northern Ireland.
Well, you're now inventing what you think my answer might have
been. I'm giving you an opportunity to say, yeah, we consulted Northern Ireland.
I'm telling you
it would be really easy to do.
Yeah, and I'm telling you that I am not going to talk to you about the internal mechanics of how decisions are taken.
The head of news in BBC Northern Ireland, Kathleen Carriker, was she consulted?
Stephen, I'm not going to go down that avenue.
The head of current affairs in BBC Northern Ireland, Jeremy Adams, was he consulted?
I'm not going to keep on. You can add as many names as you'd like, Stephen. I'm not going to talk about who I did and didn't take advice from.
The political parties in Northern Ireland, because you've written to them, Rick, and you've assured them that they will have coverage on the BBC on a national stage in a TV debate. Those political parties, what type of coverage can they expect? Will it be on BBC One?
Well, I'm sure there'll be lots of coverage on BBC One.
No, the live debate that they've been promised, will it be on BBC One? Because, for example, the nature of your letter leaves, you know, for critics, for cynics, it leaves wriggle room that the national television debate that you've promised, for example, it could be on the internet, it could be on the Parliament Channel. Will it be given a prime time slot on BBC One?
Sorry, so just let me be clear. You're talking about the debate between the Northern Ireland parties, which will happen during the election campaign.
Sure.
Yeah, that will happen on BBC One in Northern Ireland, yeah.
No. The national debate that will be UK-wide.
The UK-wide debate?
The UK-wide debate, sorry, with the Northern Ireland parties, that will have all of the Northern Ireland parties, that the whole UK-wide audience can see. Will that be on BBC One throughout the UK?
I can't give you that answer yet because I don't think that's a judgment that's been made yet. I mean, we're in very early days here. We've got a long time to go before the election.
But you've said, I'll read what you've said. You've said, as the Director General pointed out, we will be ensuring the audience in the rest of the UK will also have an opportunity to see the BBC Northern Ireland debate.
Yes.
Because just the context of this, and you know this a lot better than I do, the context of this is one of these parties may indeed, who knows, may hold the balance of power.
Yes.
So for the rest of the UK audience, on what channel will they see the Northern Ireland debate?
I can't tell you that yet because that's not a decision that's been made.
But should you've decided the national debate's on BBC One.
No, there's a clear commitment there that the Northern Ireland debate will be heard across the UK. But I can't tell you now exactly when and where, because BBC Northern Ireland will organise that debate.
But it could have been, it could be tucked away in iPlayer then? It could be tucked away in the Parliament
channel? It will be available to the audience across the UK, and if I had an answer to give you where exactly where and when it would be, I would give it you, but I don't.
The
point is, it will be available to viewers across the UK.
Yeah, but something being available means it could just be on the iPlayer. There's a huge difference.
I can assure you it won't be just on the iPlayer.
Okay, there's a huge difference between something that's on the Parliament channel, the news channel, and something that's on a primetime channel like BBC One. And again, the political parties in Northern Ireland will be seeking an assurance that if they do not have this national debate, if they're not allowed in that, they want to sell their story to the primetime audience. Can the BBC not even give that assurance today?
It's now early February. We're talking about an election campaign which is about 2 months away. That's way ahead of when programmes get scheduled. I'm sure that BBC Northern Ireland and the schedulers across the UK will talk about when that programme will be scheduled. But it's just too early to say so. I can't help you anymore on that one.
A caller to the programme has suggested limiting debate to parties which stand in 30% of UK seats and asked why that wouldn't be more rational, Rick. What would you say to him?
Well, I'm not sure where the figure 30% comes from. It seems a fairly random figure.
So that's your answer to him?
Well, what does that mean? We have a set of criteria which is based on electoral support. It also takes account of the different political party political structures across the UK. We try to come up with what we hope is serving the audiences around the UK in the best possible way and is properly impartial. Now, this is the proposal that the broadcasters have come forward with. If you'd like to suggest a different proposal, then I'm sure people will look at it.
And finally, Rick, Peter Robinson, the First Minister, has said that the broadcasters are going back to the drawing board. Is that your understanding, or is the decision set in stone?
Well, we've come up with a proposal and we will talk to all the political parties to make it happen. I think it's just worth remembering here, Stephen, that the United States had its first debate in 1960. The UK went 50 years without having debates. It was very clear from 2010 that the audiences really wanted debates to happen. In our party political structure, it's very difficult to make them happen. Now, I say this without making any comment about what's happening in 2015, but if you look back at the history of why those debates did not happen for 50 years, then you can see that often it is not in the interests of some political parties to take part in debates. It's not a straightforward thing to organise. So when the broadcasters come forward with the proposals, absolutely paramount in their minds is the public service duty to scrutinise and put before the electorate the big political parties and the choices that each and every voter has in each and every nation of the UK. And that's how this proposal was put across. Voters in Northern Ireland will have an opportunity to see the big five parties debating with each other. That debate will be shown across the UK. There will be a debate between the biggest parties in each of the nations of Great Britain. Voters in Northern Ireland will have a chance to see that debate. That seems to me to be a perfectly reasonable proposal.
OK. Rick, we appreciate you coming on. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you. So that's Rick Bailey, the Chief Political Advisor for the BBC.